Why don't we just pray before, I know we just prayed, but let's just pray again. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word that not only brings life in a way that makes us feel really good, but thank you for your word even when it hurts a little bit, because ultimately you're bringing life out of crushing, out of conviction, out of repentance, God. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you're not a one-size-fit-all God, that you really do get down to the heart of who we are. You know everything, and you love us anyways. But you want us to look more like you each and every day, and that is what we are here to do, God. So we just love you, and we thank you, and we praise you. In your name, we all said amen. Amen. So I'd like to start this off by making some claims about myself, which aren't true anymore, I'd like to say. I will say in the past, I struggled a little bit with pride. I'd like to hope that that's not currently my thing, too. Sometimes I have to check myself, I would say. But when I was little, I was in this church play. You know when churches used to just do musicals, like full on, whatever? My church did this musical called American Idol, like the show American Idol, but it was called American Idol, and it was a children's production, and each of the kids in the room got, you know, a part. Maybe they were background people, maybe they were but like, it was like the whole show was getting put on. There was Simon, there was Paula, there was Randy, you know, like the whole shebang, and we were, but the songs were songs, it was like a play about humility, and so all the singers struggled in some area with pride, and all of the singers, you know, wanted to be the best, whatever it was. And what's funny is, I walked in being like, I am so much better than all these people. And I know for a fact that I will be getting the part that at the end, when it's just a beautiful, glorious choir, and it's the girl who doesn't struggle with pride, you know, who's just singing praise to God. I'm like, that's gonna be me, because I'm better than everybody else. Guess who didn't get that part? Any guesses? No. Instead, I got the part where the girl really struggles with pride, and the song is titled, Lord, You Blessed Me. And the lyrics went, I have no pride, for I have denied myself. I want no glory, this is your story. You know, Lord, you've blessed me. Like, that was the whole song. But I hated the part, because I was like, I don't want to be this girl. I want to be the girl that praises God and doesn't praise herself. Like, I'm so mad they didn't give me this part. Like, I wasn't just like, let's be a part of the story and let's help everybody in the audience who struggles with pride. No, I was just like mad that I didn't get the best part. Yeah. Anyways, my mom constantly just had to be like, it is not about you growing up. Genuinely, all the time, it's not about you. And I'm reading through the book of Acts right now pretty heavily. I'm taking a class on it and just kind of studying through the book. And I came across a passage which coincidentally brought that story to mind, so that's why I'm sharing it. It's about a guy in the Bible named Simon, not Simon Peter, as we know, but it's a different Simon, and maybe you've never heard this passage before, and so I'm hoping to bring some light out of this passage tonight for us. It's Acts chapter 8, it's 9 through 25, so buckle up your seatbelts here, but we will be, I think we have the verses? Yeah, so they're going to be on the screen behind you. I'm going to read this story for you. So now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria, and when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, for I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." And I was like, whoa. When I read that, I was like, I don't know. I've read through the Bible, you know, and for some reason, sometimes stories, it's like, you know, you read them and it's like the first time you've ever seen it. And I was like, I literally don't think I've ever read this passage. I know that I have, but in my head and in my heart, I was like, this is really cutting to my core, and I'm not entirely sure why. And the Lord slowly just revealed this to me through a couple of different ways, and that's what I'm here to share with you tonight. So my question, or the question that I had to myself is, why would Peter say this? Why would he say it this harshly? Why would he be so seemingly unkind to somebody who, you know, in his heart maybe thought, or in his actions, he thought he was doing the right thing. He's like, I want these gifts. Like, here's money. Like, what can I do to get this? But Peter's saying this specifically to Simon because Simon is used to having people's attention. The Bible said that he was great in his own eyes. Sound like anyone familiar? No? Yeah? I mean, I was reading this and I was like, dang, I get it, Simon. I understand. He's saying this too because Simon believes in Jesus. It said he believed, he got baptized. But there's still evidence that he's actually following the signs and miracles and not the source. And that he sees an opportunity not to have the Holy Spirit, but to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if Peter, with discernment, as someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit, as somebody who's been sent as an apostle to bring those to know Jesus, if he says this from the Spirit inside of him, then he can see through Simon's request. You know, he says he's a sinner, you know, and you're like, how do you know that? You don't actually know, he doesn't actually know him. But the Spirit gave him discernment in this moment that he was bitter because of the lost attention and importance that he had once had. They said, you're practically God with all of your signs and wonders. And he's lost that attention and importance because of the apostles coming in and performing these signs and wonders as well. And he's captive to the sins of greed and pride. He says, you have no share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. And I don't know if I probably was at this level in some way, shape, or form. I don't actually know that guy's heart. He lived a long time ago. But I remember when I was working as an administrative assistant out in Fresno. A lot of people think that I was the youth pastor out in Fresno before I moved here, and I was not. I was administrative assistant for about 3 years, and at first I was really happy to be in that position because it was giving me some training and different things that I needed, and I was able to work under somebody and kind of almost watch their mistakes and learn from them and grow in that capacity. But at some point, I started feeling really bitter because I didn't actually want that position. Like, that was not the position that I felt like God had called me to. So I started getting bitter about where I was placed. I don't know if it came from a depth of, I want to be important, you know, like, I want to be front and center. I don't know. God knows my heart. But in that moment, I remember praying to God and being like, God, I feel so stuck. And I wanted to leave. I wanted to quit. And I almost quit many times. You can ask my dad, talking to him on the phone, I'm going to come home. And I would decide not to. But I just was so frustrated. I remember in high school or middle school, I was on the track team and glorified track team. I just did high jump because I didn't want to run. Yeah. The field part, track and field. I was field. And we would compete with other schools, and there was another team of girls that I got to meet from Great Bridge. And those girls were super sweet, really kind, and one of them I had become friends with when we would see each other and compete. And she got diagnosed with cancer at a young age. And I remember praying so fervently, I remember hands and knees going down to the altar at my church in intercession for her. And I remember the day that I saw on Facebook that she had passed away. And we weren't even close, you know, but I think that that moment I sat before God and I said, God, I prayed. And I didn't see this the way that I wanted to see this done. I didn't see the outcome that I had prayed for. I remember for years, 26 exactly, well, maybe less. I don't think I prayed for this when I was one. But I remember just for so many years that I prayed for love. Like, I prayed to God to send me somebody that would love me. And I got so angry because I was like, God, I followed you for all my life, and I have lived according to your word, and I don't understand why you haven't blessed me with somebody to be my companion and to be my support. And I blamed God for not bringing me somebody. I just like got to that place where I was just stuck in this mode. And these three things, seeing healings, wanting to know that somebody out there loved me, the positions of authority, whatever that may be, just a certain job, those types of prayers became obsessions for me. Like, just obsessions. I seemed to not be able to shake them. And let me tell you this, at times my heart, I think, was in the right place, but for a majority of those prayers, I don't actually believe that my heart was in the right place. And the reason I say that is because out of these things, and even sometimes in the midst of these things, I saw anger, I saw frustration, and fear, and control. I saw self-deprecation, I saw pride. It was obsession. And that was out of my prayers to God. That was what was coming out of my heart, and I could tell that those things were coming out of my heart. And I don't want to say that God didn't answer any of these prayers at the time that I asked them for because of my heart. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But I can recognize in myself that's where I was coming from. This week I was in the car and I was just driving. And I started singing that song, I think it was Hillsong, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Yeah. And that song, it just hit me so hard. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. And I heard Jesus say, even recently, as far as I am away from some of those prayers that I've prayed, I heard Jesus say, am I more than enough for you? Like, am I more than enough for you? The beginning of that song said, I believe you're my healer. True. The following word said, I believe you are all I need. It didn't say, I believe you will heal me. It didn't say, I believe I will see you do these things in my life that I've asked for. It just says, I believe that you're my healer. I believe these things about your character. But I also believe that you're more than enough for me. That you're my portion. And Jesus, ultimately, if I don't see any of the things that I ask for, you are all I need. And I was sitting there and I was like, oh, man, I'm just like on my way to my parents' house, pick up Starbucks. Like, I just was like, wow, God, you are so good. And with all the things that even Will's been speaking on Sunday mornings and Joppy to our worship team this morning, it's just been a constant theme of seeking the Lord first, as first priority at every moment. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and live righteously. It's not just seeking the kingdom of God and live righteously. Live in right standing with God. And he will give you everything that you need. Not everything that you want, but everything that you need. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. This is the first thing that I wrote in this message after I found this chapter in Acts. Seeking the healer before the healing. Seeking the provider before the provision. Seeking the gift giver before the gifts. Seeking the anointed one before the anointing. Simon wasn't seeking the Holy Spirit. He was seeking those gifts. And Peter knew that, and he saw that. And so he called him out for it. He said, repent and pray, because you are not right with God, and you will have no part in this ministry. But guys, I want to say to you, it's not wrong to seek these things, healings and anointing and provision. It's not a bad thing to seek these things. It's not bad for you to seek them on somebody else's behalf, to pray for healing, to pray for provision, to seek God work in somebody's life. But it is wrong to seek these things before you actually seek the Lord himself. And how many times, I know myself, how many times do we approach God with our asks and our needs before we just say, hey, God, thank you so much for who you are in my life. Just that first note of, God, I'm going to acknowledge who you are to me and how much you love me. I was reading this portion in my class about the gift of Pentecost. Said everything in Acts 2 is surprising, everything, especially to the disciples. It says, it is nothing which they particularly expected, right? God told them, just wait. What are we waiting for? It's nothing which they brought about. They didn't do anything for what happened in Acts. God sovereignly poured out his Spirit with the manifestations he chose, which is also cool that we sang about God manifesting himself tonight. With the manifestations he chose, the disciples were sitting as this took place, indicating their passivity. They were just there. They were peacefully waiting for God. They were, as it were, at rest when the Holy Spirit came. God works in us not due to our striving, and I'll add in, not due to our requests and begging and pleading and blaming and anger and frustration. God works in us due to our resting and abiding in him. The gifts of the Spirit, the healing, the provision, the anointing, whatever it is that you need, my answer to that is rest. And I'm speaking to myself more than anybody else in this room right now. The things that I have prayed and asked God for, and I have just become even upset, more obsessed than some of these things that I named to you that I'm currently praying over. I have felt nothing similar to rest. I have felt anxiety, and I have felt anger again and frustration with God that I wasn't seeing life the way that it should be happening according to what I think it should be. And out of this, I've just realized that rest is the answer. Time of peace spent in his presence is just surrender to his sovereignty. I'll say it again. Time of peace spent in his presence is just surrender to sovereignty. When you are peaceful before the Lord, when you are resting in him and you are abiding in him and you are spending that time getting to know the one who created you, that's an act of surrender to his sovereignty, knowing that he has everything in the palm of his hands. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So what's our responsibility in this? Because we say all the time, pray, present your requests before God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Like we're saying these things. You can read them in scripture. But what's our responsibility then? What I will say is present yourself as one who is willing. Willing to receive the gifts of the Spirit, willing to receive healing, willing to align to his will. You might be like, how am I willing to get a promotion, Sky? Like, how am I willing to see some of these? Just be willing to see his will happen in your life and not your own. Present yourself as willing. Seek first the Lord. Be still in his presence. And honestly, allow him to search your heart. I ask you the question again, is Jesus more than enough for you? Simon had a response to this, right? Like, Peter really did call him out on his stuff. Some of us don't like being called out on our stuff, even when we're called out by God himself. But when we are corrected by God, or God's appointed, anointed people that we can maybe even have some trust in, what is our response? Guys, it's not always an attack of the enemy, right? Some of us are like, man, this person said this, and I just feel like that was the devil. That wasn't actually a good word. Like, I don't really receive that. Check your heart. Simon didn't get defensive at what Peter was saying to him. He said, pray for me. He said, oh my gosh, pray for me. I don't want that. I don't want to be separated from God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I am not up here saying to you, also worship team, you can come up, sorry. I am not up here saying to you that it's because your sin that you haven't seen results from the Lord. I don't know God's will for your life. But check your heart. My requests to God were not bad requests to the Lord. I wanted to see a healing. I wanted to help and be a part of ministry and help students come to know God. I wanted to find somebody that would help me along the path of life to glorify God even through our relationship. Those aren't bad requests. But when I was able to look into my heart and see really what the core of all that was, maybe it was loneliness or distrust. Maybe it was pride or selfishness. So what I want to propose to you guys is tonight, let's seek God first. Every single one of you in this room, I know, have things. Everybody does. No life is perfect, and God did not ever promise us that. However, tonight, let's seek God first. Ask him to search those areas of your heart. Is there an area of sin to anyone in the room? And that's crazy that my mom had that word as well, because I was already getting ready to say this. Is there an area of sin where you've become numb or complacent? Are you making excuses for that sin? Yeah, sometimes it's easier. It's easier to just not care. Or it's easier to just continue living your life and professing Christ, but feeling on the inside like a hypocrite. Maybe that feels easier to you. Ask yourself if Christ is enough if you don't get X, Y, and Z. Genuinely approach his throne and say, God, are you enough to me if I don't actually see this happen specifically in my life because it wasn't actually my will that was going to be done, it's yours. Check your heart. Seek God's face now. Let him be your focus and ask him what he desires for your life. So I want to invite us just to stand. And prayer team, I'm going to ask you guys to just be on these sides if you can. And if you feel, which I hope we all do, any sort of conviction that you need to seek God's face about something, the altar is not just a fancy term. What the altar was and what it symbolized was a place where you put an offering to God. So when we invite you down to an altar space to pray and to seek God first, what you're doing is you're offering yourself. You're offering your life. Some of you guys want to see the Holy Spirit move in your heart. You want to see those gifts because you genuinely, in the depths of your heart, want to be able to love people with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit behind you. I get that. So seek His face first. Seek Him first. Find out how much He loves you. Ask Him what He desires for your life. And then what I have this prayer team for is for you to go. After you receive your word from God about your circumstance, you receive some type of leading, then to go to the prayer team and ask them to agree with you in what God has shown you for your life. If you feel like the Lord has said, I have a gift for you, you go find Pastor Bill on the side and you tell him, God told me He has a gift for me. Would you pray in agreement with that? But start with God first. If you're looking to see a healing in your life, if you're looking to see someone that you love come to know Christ after years and years of praying for that person, come seek God first. If you're looking for provision in your life in a way that you haven't seen it, and you just know without God's help that it's not going to work, come seek God first. If you feel any sort of leading about any area of your life, I just invite you right now to come down to these altars and just to sit here and seek God first. Come now. If you want to just seek the Lord's face, I invite you to come forward. There's got to be an area of your life where you have not seen the outcome that you have been praying for. And He's asking you now to come before Him and to seek His face first, not to seek the fear, not to seek the anxiety, not to seek the things that keep plaguing your mind, but to seek Him first. Worship team, if this applies to you, come down to these altars and seek His face first. Just come and ask Him, Lord, what is it that you want me to know? What is it that you want me to see? How much do you love me, God? He's going to tell you.